Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you hungry for something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Philippians and will be continuing today with part two of The Condescension of Christ. So let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And so he says concerning him who being in the form of God. Now this is one of the passages in the New Testament. There are several, but this is one of them that gives us a clear statement regarding the divinity of Christ. So Jesus is God. But when we say Jesus is God, remember, we believe in a triune God. We believe in a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when we say Jesus is God, we're not saying Jesus is the Father. We're saying Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He is God the Son. So sometimes when we say God became a man, that's true, but sometimes that can be confusing to people because they think, well, wait a second, God became a man. We probably ought to clarify God the Son is the one who became a man. But there is this equality that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So concerning Christ, who being in the form of God. So here he is, and this is a declaration of his eternal existence. He's in the form of God. But then it says this. It says, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now this is, by the admission of most scholars, a very difficult portion here to really translate and to really get at what it is that's being said. Did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Some of the other translations read, it did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And for many, many years, that is just sort of where everybody stopped, because what you have here is you have a word, a Greek word that is used, and it is used only here. And it's rarely found in classical Greek literature. So this word perplexed the translators for a long time, and they really didn't quite know how to translate it. If you were to read it, and I'll just put the Greek word on the end, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, or he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. It's just this one word, this Greek word, harpagmos. So literally the line reads, he did not consider or regard equality with God a harpagmos. So the question was, what does that mean? Now, the Holman Christian Standard Bible has it translated properly. And this is how they translate it. Who, speaking of Christ, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. That's what he's telling us. That Jesus didn't use his deity to his own advantage, but he used it to the advantage of others. That's what Paul's saying. And so it says that he made himself of no reputation. See, this is so hard for us to get our heads around, taking upon him the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So you see, think about it. Jesus comes into the world. He's God. He's God the Son. He's the creator of everything. He's the possessor of all things. Everything that there is belongs to him because he made it. He made it for himself. But he comes into the world, and how does he come? He doesn't come with all of the fanfare that you would expect. He doesn't come with the host of heaven. He comes humbly. He comes into the world as a human being. He comes into the world through the natural process. He is conceived in the womb of the Virgin miraculously. He lives in the womb of the Virgin. He comes forth from the birth canal. He's born into poverty and obscurity, and that's how he comes. And the only people that really know about his coming are some shepherds out in a field that a group of angels appeared to and told him, "Behold, this day in the city of David is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." But it was all so radically understated as to not even be noticed by the vast majority of the human race. Amazing, astounding. It means that he humbled himself. He became of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He was found in the likeness of men. He became obedient to death, even to death on the cross. Remember what Satan said to Adam and to Eve? To Eve, "You shall be like God." And in Satan's mind, being God is to take full advantage of his position and use his position as an advantage over everybody else. That's the devil's version of God. That's what he aspires to. And that's what he deceives people into aspiring to. But if you're going to really be like God, you do not use your divinity for your own advantage, but you use it for the advantage of others. You know, I often think about Jesus coming back and judging the world, and people will say, "Well, what right does Jesus have to judge the world?" Well, he has the right to judge the world because he came and he humbled himself and he died for the world. And he's made the ultimate sacrifice. And for those who reject the ultimate sacrifice, there is nothing further to offer. He could not do any more. He couldn't go any lower. He went to the very depth of man's sin and depravity, having those sins laid upon himself, punished for those iniquities and transgressions that we have all committed. And for a person to reject that, there's nothing else. There's no other possible solution. The only thing at that point would be a judgment. But it's a judgment coming from a God who did not use his divinity for his own advantage, but rather used it for the advantage of others. Now, Paul says this, "Therefore, because Jesus did this, therefore God has highly exalted him." Now, Jesus, of course, prior to the incarnation, he had glory with the Father. He's one with the Father. He's equal with the Father. He even prays in John chapter 17. He says, "Father, I want to be back with you again. I want these people to be with me so they can behold the glory that I had with you before the world was ever created." So Jesus, of course, had that glory previously. But there's something even greater than that somehow because of what he did. That God has exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. And so it's actually come to be where now God, the Father, is known by Jesus. See, in the Old Testament, we have the name Yahweh. God reveals himself by Yahweh. Have you ever noticed that in the New Testament, there are no references to Yahweh, per se? I mean, occasionally, maybe here or there, as a quotation from the Old Testament. But when the Old Testament is quoted in reference to Yahweh, it's applied to Jesus in the New Testament. And the word Lord, which we're going to see, is given to Jesus here. God highly exalted him, given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word Lord, this is the Greek word that when the scriptures were translated into Greek, the Old Testament, as I mentioned earlier, the Septuagint, when they came to Yahweh, the Hebrew name for God, they used the Greek word kurios to translate Yahweh. So anybody living in the apostolic period, especially any Jewish person, when they would read Jesus Christ is Lord, they would immediately understand what the apostles were saying. They would immediately make the connection, Jesus Christ is Yahweh. That's what the apostle is saying here. And that's the point that I'm making. What God has done is he's taken, and now the Father, in a sense, you know, stands in the background and says, here's my son. He's my representative. He bears my name, the name that is above every name. You know, if you're going to claim to worship God and think you're going to do so and deny Jesus, you got a big surprise coming. It won't happen. God does not accept any form of worship whatsoever that excludes Jesus Christ. You can't worship God. You can't please God. You can't do anything to obtain favor with God unless you do it through Jesus. It's impossible. And so those other religions, Islam, Judaism, those are the two other monotheistic religions. But what do they both have in common? They both have in common the rejection of Jesus. Islam says he's, you know, a prophet, and Judaism doesn't quite know what to think of him, but they're sure that he's not the Son of God. And in both cases, you have systems that teach that you can go to God and you can somehow please God and you can serve God. But according to the New Testament, that is an absolute impossibility. You can't do it because the only way to get to God is through Christ. In other words, for all practical purposes, as far as the Father is concerned, Jesus is God. And if anybody wants to talk about God, know God, follow God, worship God, there's only one way to do it, and that's by worshiping Jesus. And that's how the Father receives glory. The Father doesn't receive glory by people worshiping him to the exclusion of his Son. I remember when I was kind of trying to find my way, and I was, you know, I was in the process of being drawn to the Lord, but I didn't really know what was happening, and I had been raised in Catholicism, so as I was kind of having these stirrings in my life, I went back to the Catholic Church. That's the place that I was familiar with, so I went back there thinking that I was going to find what I was looking for. And I remember, you know, having people around me occasionally talking about Jesus, and it was back in the days of the Jesus People movement, and all of that was going on all around this area at the time, and everybody was talking about Jesus, and, you know, some were referring to them as Jesus freaks and all that. And I remember thinking to myself, well, you know, these guys have Jesus, that's fine, but we've got God. Over here at the Catholic Church, we've got God. And we got Mary too, you know. And, you know, yeah, Jesus is all right, but that's the way I was thinking. We've got God. I didn't know that we really didn't have God. Because you can't have God if you exclude Jesus. You just can't have him. It's impossible. You can't do it. So because of this humbling of himself, God has highly exalted him and given him, notice, the name that is above every name. And of course, what does Jesus mean? Jesus means Yahweh is the Savior. That's the meaning of the name. But we don't say today we're followers of Yahweh per se. We don't say we're followers of Jehovah. What are we? We're followers of Jesus. And in following him, we worship the Father. Everyone who looks to the Son and honors the Son, that's the person. God is looking for people to honor his Son. Some people think that you can honor God and dishonor Jesus. No, you can't. To dishonor Jesus is to dishonor the Father. So he's given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. There's a lot of people who hate Christ in our world today. And it's a huge mystery as to why. It's undoubtedly the influence of Satan on their minds. It's completely irrational. They couldn't give you any kind of a legitimate reason, but you know, you find all of the time. Somebody was telling me a couple days ago that they were they have to go to AA meetings. And so they're there in the AA meetings, and you know, they're called upon to give their little spiel or whatever. And everybody gets, you know, their higher power, they talk about whatever. And this person was telling me that, you know, they just began to talk about Jesus and share about how Jesus had done a work in their life. And they were saying that people just got irate and told her, shut up. Don't talk about Jesus. We don't want to hear about Jesus. And this is kind of a prevalent attitude that's starting to manifest itself in the culture, this hostility toward Jesus. I mean, isn't it absolutely crazy that the United States judiciary is engaged in things like telling kids at public high schools that they can't pray in the name of Jesus? Or, you know, if we get called upon to go to a city council meeting and they'll call you and say, hey, can you come over and pray for our city council meeting? And in a lot of places today, they'll tell you, come over and pray for our city council meeting, but you can't pray in the name of Jesus. You know, frankly, me, I won't even go pray. It's like, who are we praying to? If we're not praying to Jesus, we're not praying to anybody. So let's not even pretend. Let's not bother. But this is the kind of madness that we have going on today. And again, it's just a manifestation of Satan's influence in the culture. There's an irrational hostility and animosity and even a hatred toward the name of Jesus. You can pray in pray in the name of God. Some cases they're fine where you pray in the name of Allah. Or, you know, whatever spirit or whatever. But man, just don't say in the name of Jesus. But here's what's going to happen. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess, like it or not, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every single knee of every human being that has ever been born will bow before Jesus. And every single tongue will confess that he is Lord. God said it in the Old Testament, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess. This is a promise that God has made. One day, he's going to force every human being to acknowledge his Son. Now, the wise thing is to do it now and receive the blessing and the benefit of it, because you're going to do it regardless. It's going to happen. But if you do it now, if you humbly bow before him and confess that he is Lord, then of course you receive his salvation and you receive his blessing and you receive all of the wonderful benefits here in this life of knowing him, and you receive ultimately that place in his kingdom eternally. But if you refuse to your very last breath to do so, guess what? You will still do it. Because your very last breath is not the end of it. That's the beginning of the really bad part. My son was telling me a few days ago that his brother-in-law, his father passed away recently, and he was a hard-nosed guy, and they had tried to witness to him over the years, and he wouldn't have any of it, and right on his deathbed, his son made one final attempt, and his dad just basically said, just get away from me. Don't talk to me about that. I don't want to hear about Jesus. And I remember years ago having a kind of a similar experience when one of my uncles was dying, and I went to try to speak to him there in his bed in the hospital, and he just pushed me away, said, no, I don't want to hear that. I'm okay. I don't need that. And I remember I just felt so horrible. I felt so guilty too. I just felt like, wow, I failed. You know, but the whole point is this. It's just, you know, the thought that you're going to hold out, you're never going to do it. I remember when Christopher Hitchens was dying. And, you know, there were Christians around him saying, man, Jesus loves you, open your heart. And the atheists were, you know, hold on, don't give in, don't be a wimp. And he held on, apparently, and went to the grave, refusing to acknowledge Jesus. But we know that changed instantly, and it will change. So for everybody, this is where it's going. And for us today who are living in a culture, like I said, that's becoming increasingly hostile to Christ, and as we see more and more of this animosity spewing out of people, as we see Jesus being blasphemed publicly more and more, and as this grates on us and, you know, really bothers us and grieves us, we just have to fall back on this. The Lord is in charge. And in the end, it's all going to come down the way he said it's going to come down. And it's all going to come down to this. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus was here on the earth. And it seems like so long, doesn't it? And many would say, oh, you still believe in that stuff? Come on. That happened so long ago. You can't trust that. But we just, by faith, we're holding on. We're believing that just as Jesus came the first time in humility, like the scripture said he would do, he will come again in power and great glory. So he did come initially without the fanfare. He did come without the full proclamation of heaven. He did come and lived in obscurity, was born in humility. But that's not how he's coming back. He's coming back with the host of heaven. And what does the Bible say? When he comes back, every eye will see him. Everybody will see him when he comes. Only a few people saw him when he came the first time. But when he comes again, every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him. And all the families of the earth will wail and lament because of him. They're wailing and lamenting because the judgment has come. He came in humility to suffer and die. He did. And he rose again and he ascended to heaven. He's coming back in power to judge and to rule. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study of the book of Philippians in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of a study called Work Out Your Own Salvation. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Condescension of Christ. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0179. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Brodersen. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Brodersen. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.